Well, why don't we go into chapter 13, and we want to, I'm going to talk to you today about a little bit about deliverance, but the resistance of that message, because the resistance of the message is very powerful in our nation today. You see, if the devil can stay hidden, if he can blind the minds, according to the Bible, from people believing the truth and from knowing that there is such a thing as the truth, there really is such a thing as the truth. But the devil has convinced Christians in our nation and probably in England and Scotland and all over the world that truth is whatever you believe, and truth is not whatever you believe. There's a lot of people believing a lot of lies, amen? And he's convinced the Americans, particularly, that no matter what anybody preaches, that they're doing a little good for somebody. That's the phrase that I heard the other day. But they help people. They do a little good. Well, you see, Jesus didn't look at things that way. Jesus looked at things from an eternal viewpoint, and he looked at things with not a gray area, not a little side road that you could go down, still have this belief, but turn off of the main road and go down this little road and do your own thing and think that everything's okay, because it isn't. So in our nation, the devil has really turned people's minds from believing the truth. On the way to church today, I heard a preacher that I've known for years. And see, in the New Age, there's little magical words that they use, little things that if you're trained and you know what the New Age is about, you've studied a little bit on it like I have, you'll pick up that phraseology. And as soon as you hear the word, then you listen to see what that person's saying. 99% of the time, it's not the truth they're preaching. And the phrase that he used was unity in diversity. And he was trying to preach a message that can't we just all get along, as that guy Rodney did out in California. Can't we just get along? You see, unity and diversity means that I can love you no matter what you believe, and I can walk with you. But Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I came to bring a sword. He said, I came to bring a sword to cut you from the lies. And so you can love the world. I love everybody in the world. There's nobody I don't love. The homosexual, I've ministered to them throughout my career. Loved them, talked to them, delivered them. Love them. But what they're doing is wrong. And so you have to disconnect them from the wrong and let them know that not only do you love them, but Jesus loves them. You see. You don't come down and just make people think that there's no hope because of the sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So unity and diversity, the way the New Agers preach it, is that you can get along with anybody and love them and leave them alone or along in their diversities. Don't tell them about Jesus. Just put him right up there on the level of Islam, on the level of Mohammedism, on Hinduism, on all of these diversities. Well, you see, you cannot do that. You cannot put Jesus equal to anyone except God. And the minute that you do, you've denied the faith. Is that right? You've denied the faith. And so we want to make sure that we stand on the Word of God, believing that God is God. Now, I heard, or somebody sent me one of those YouTube tapes, and if you want it, a copy of it, if you'll email me and tell me to send you the link, I will. But it was on one of the famous Word of Faith teachers. And the Word of Faith teacher was up there. And you know, the only thing they know how to teach is how to you get your money. Give me your money and God will give it back to you. So he had reasoned in his mind about the Trinity. And he said, the Bible says that God never sleeps. God is not ever weary. Then he goes over into the New Testament to prove that Jesus isn't God. Look, he's weary here. Look, he was sleeping on the boat. And in that man's mind, that proved to him that Jesus was not God. But you see, we were taught that Jesus, according to John 1, is God in the flesh. Is that right? God in the flesh. And in the seminary, they defined it as God in the flesh, and because he was in the flesh, he had limitations in the flesh. But the limitations were overcome at his baptism when the Holy Ghost came on him, because the Holy Ghost was the supernatural aspect in force. So we can have the same things that Jesus had and did because we have the Holy Ghost, right? And he enables us to do the impossible things that we do. It's not through us. But I was just absolutely shocked and astounded, and he sounded so erudite when he was preaching that stuff. There are millions of Christians sitting in the valley of darkness as I speak to you today, right here in our nation, sitting in churches, not knowing anything, hardly, not living their faith at all, sitting under preachers that don't know what they're preaching, they've never been taught themselves, they've just simply listened to people's tapes, and they've just simply decided, well, that sounds good, and that's the way I'm going. You follow after a human being today, you can get in serious trouble. Paul said it like this. He said, follow me. And then he continued to say, as I follow Jesus. In other words, line my life up to Jesus and the Word, and then you can follow me. But don't follow me because I'm charismatic and fun to watch or interesting to hear, or you think I'm the sparkiest Christian in the world. No, that isn't any purpose to follow anybody. Follow a preacher only as they follow the Lord and their life line up to the Lord. You see, I was talking to someone the other day and they got upset with me. And I didn't know it all of this time until the other day. This was several years ago. I mentioned that a famous certain preacher had fallen into homosexuality. It was a fact. I mean, I didn't make it up, you know. And he was all upset because when he went to hear that preacher, after he heard that, he was anointed, but some reason he couldn't get into his message. That's what I was supposed to be doing, is trying to get him away from a false prophet, right? And so I just looked at him and I said, I didn't make that up, you know. I never heard it anywhere else. I said, well, all you got to do, go up on the computer, Google his name, and it's right there on the computer. Where people lie. I said, no, this wasn't a lie. This was his associate pastor that confessed in front of the whole church, and he resigned in front of the whole church. But you see, they don't get mad at you, at the guy that's in sin, or the guy that isn't right. They get mad at you for telling them. Isn't that what they did with Jeremiah? But what did God tell Jeremiah? He said, tell them anyway. If they get mad, they get mad. But the blood is not on you. So I said all of that because I want to teach you a little bit about getting out the gospel despite what anyone has to say. Amen? So let's go over to chapter 13 in the book of Acts. And you've got Paul and Barnabas here, and they're evangelizing. Now, Paul and Barnabas and these Christian teachers, they face the very same obstacles that we face today. They had a leader that had died on the cross that nobody could see. And they had to go out and sell the world on the fact that though he died on the cross, the purpose of him dying on the cross was to cover our sins so we could go to heaven. And the other purpose was that he had ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us, and delivering to us his anointing and his power so that we could do the same works on this earth that he did. But even though you're talking to people about these spiritual things, they still not able to see that person that you're talking about, right? So it's a pretty hard sell. And the only way sometimes that you can sell it is through the demonstration of the power of God. Always understand that the Christian walk is like a tripod. You have the power of God, you have Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. And all three of those things work together. And you set up on that base. And if you don't, if you just take one part of that, you're off balance at all times. And you cannot do the work that God's called you to do. So these people, Paul and Barnabas, they were giving out the gospel, you know, and they were preaching in the streets and they were preaching in the synagogue. And then the Bible says in verse 6, chapter 13, and when they had gone through the isles unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, a sorcerer in our country today, sorcery is very much alive. It's far more alive in many instances than Christianity is. You can talk to groups of Christians, as I have done. They know nothing about sorcery. Their pastors have never told them about sorcery. They've never told them that witches and wizards are true, that they're real, and that they have power. And one of the reasons that they haven't, it offends people when you begin to uncover the truth of the Word of God. And some of the people, as yesterday, there was a couple sitting in the ministry. They had a ministry to Israel. And I said a few things about the sorcery or whatever it was, supernatural things. They just got up and walked out of the meeting. And these were supposedly leaders. Now, are they leaders or are they infiltrators? That's the next thing that you have to ask yourself. Because the Bible has a lot to say about sorcery and witchcraft and devils and demons and Satan. And if somebody says they're a Christian and that offends them, well, then there's something wrong with their walk, isn't there? But these apostles knew the reality because they either came out of it or Jesus taught them the reality of the differences in the spirit between the devil and God. And so anything, any little twitch, any little shake goes on in some of these church realms today is the Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you that it's not true. The Holy Spirit will never go against what the Word of God says. And I told this person, I said, look, let's make it simple for you, as I do the people in our church. I said, if you don't see Jesus doing it, if you don't see the apostles doing it, the disciples, then don't do it. Isn't that simple? So you see somebody doing strange, what we call strange fire, doing strange things and calling it the Holy Ghost, ask God, is this of you? Because you don't want to get caught up in strange fire. Amen? Because it can lead you into the pit of hell. So the Greek word magos, M-A-G-O-S, it translates into magician, sorcerers, wizards, enchanters, astrologers, and wise men. Now, you know, the New Testament starts out with the birth of Jesus, and it says these wise men came, and they were on camels. You've seen the nativity scene played in plays throughout your life. And they bring gifts to the king. But nobody ever wonders, who were these wise men? The Bible says they came from the east. Now, a false religion has always been designated as coming from the east, you know. So they were astrologers because they saw his star and they followed his star, they said. It was a sign in the heavenlies, put there by God, and the people that didn't even believe in God followed their signs. Amen? Now, here's the thing. God has put signs for us to follow. If you read Matthew chapter 24, you'll see all kinds of signs there. This is going to happen before Jesus returns. All kinds of signs that are popping up and happening right now as we're breathing in our day and time, following signs. And so nobody had to teach Paul that Elymais was a sorcerer. He knew that. I just read it to you. In verse 8 it says, but Elymais, the sorcerer, and then it goes and tells you why they call him a sorcerer. It says, for so is his name by interpretation. In other words, Elymais means sorcerer. And it says, withstood them, seeking to turn them away, the deputy from the faith. And so occultists, antichrist people, unbelievers, what they do is try to turn you away from your faith. If you're a preacher, they'll try to come on your ground and turn the people that you're preaching to away from their faith. Amen? You have to keep in mind that you have an adversary at all times. And the adversary's job is to make you fall or make the people that you're ministering to fall. So that's why God said that the pastor, the teacher, will stand a stiffer judgment than those that are not pastors. The ones that are just members of a church, you're going to stand the judgment. But if your pastor doesn't tell you the truth, then he's going to stand a stiffer judgment than you. And that's why I take this pulpit very seriously about what I'm telling you, because I want to tell you the truth. And so it's an imposer of the gospel, and these people are filled with evil influences, and they seek to oppose, and they're diligent, and they're pushed by Satan and the demons to do what they do. The difference as a Christian, the Holy Spirit will not make you do anything. That's why a lot of people feel like getting up and going to church and they don't get out of the bed. They say, well, I just don't feel like it today, so I'm going to stay home. They stay home. But you get up and you come to church, though you don't feel like it, that's when you push through and that's when God's going to do something for you. Amen? Happens for me all the time. And it says, and then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now, what he's doing is he's publicly discerning the Spirit. Paul knows that Spirit. He already knew that he had a sorcerer in his midst. But he's going to speak it in front of everybody, so everybody knows what he's dealing with. So people won't follow this gent anymore. Amen? He says, and said, O full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And so he denounced him in front of everybody. Because, you see, particularly in this day and time, you got all these little prophets and prophetesses, I call them. And a lot of them were divinators in the world, and they just brought those gifts right into the body of Christ. And they'll just stand up and prophesy over people. I remember a woman came into our ministry one day, and she prophesied, and it sounded great. But see, when somebody prophesies, my ears listen very carefully, because I know that the prophecy will line up with the Word of God. And everything sounded fine, but right at the end of the prophecy, she said, and my children, don't be afraid to go to the fortune teller. I can protect you. And I just stood right up on my foot. And I rebuked her in front of everybody in the church. And I said, let me tell you something. That did not come from God. If the Bible says don't go to the fortune teller, we're not supposed to go to the fortune teller. And if you do go, God is not going to protect you, because you're walking on the Satan's ground. And that lady left, and we never saw her again. Well, you know, I'm sorry that she didn't take the rebuke and repent. Like this man, not this man, but Simon the sorcerer repented. And so you have to be brave and bold if you're going to be a minister of the gospel. Not wishy-washy. I know a man that was going to one of the purpose-driven churches here in Jacksonville. That's where you can go to church, sin, be in adultery, fornication, smoke, do whatever you want to do, drink, be a lesbian, be a homosexual, without repentance. Do anything you want to. You can sit there as long as you give them your tithe, right? Okay. Nobody tells them right or wrong, but a holy man of God, you know the man, Sammy told me this. He was going to this particular church, and he goes up to the pastor, and he tells him something supernatural, that somebody needed a healing supernaturally. And the pastor says, not now, brother. We'll do that Wednesday night. There are churches that you can go to on Sunday that want to play Baptist. And then on Wednesday night, they may let somebody prophesy. They may let somebody heal. Because the denominational type people don't come on Wednesday nights. Amen? What is that? That's a double-minded person. You follow that, and you'll fall into the pit with him. Jesus said, if the blind leadeth the blind, both of them going to fall into the pit. Isn't that true? And so he rebuked him in front of everyone so that they would know, do not follow this individual. He's not right in the spirit. He's a sorcerer. He's prophesying. He's saying things, but he's not of God. Amen? And it says, and behold, in verse 10 he said, and said, full of subtlety, mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, you will pervert the ways of the Lord. And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing for the sun for a season. And immediately there fell in the midst a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So now here's the gospel being distributed. The gospel being distributed is through the anointed words of that apostle. Something happened. When you're under the anointing, things will happen. People will get healed. People will get delivered. People will believe. People will get filled with the Holy Ghost. Supernatural things happen through the Word of God. They cannot happen through the perversities of the Word of God today. That's why we stay in the King James Version, because that's the one that's inspired. Amen? And so what happened was, he spoke, he said, this season of blindness came upon this guy because the hand of the Lord was on him and he was willingly blind. Okay? And they led him away. But then what happened was, the man that the apostle was ministering to believed because something happened. You let those people be the boss and you say, oh, well, I know that's wrong, but I'll just go after he leaves the church and tell everyone he just told them a lie. Nobody's going to believe that. But you be bold. Now, you have to be careful in our day and time, but you tell them, no, that isn't what the Word says, brother. I'm sorry, but I have to challenge you by the Word says. In front of the people so the people know the truth. Because it's going to be the truth of the Word of God that's going to set them free. And so the hindrances to getting out the gospel in our nation today is the occultists, the divinators, the false prophets, the false prophetesses, the false ministers, the false doctrines, the false systems that have alighted in many of our churches today, and people's minds are being bewitched. And when you talk to those minds, they cannot hear the truth because they have a gatekeeper in their minds that everything that you say, the gatekeeper, the demon, interprets that according to the hypnotic, bewitching spirits that they're sitting under. Jesus said that there would be a great falling away before he returns. He said at the judgment seat, they'll come to him and they'll say, well, Jesus, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out devils in your name? It's me, John. I had the biggest church in town. I had 6 cars, the most famous cars riding on the earth when I was alive. Why, I had a jet plane that I rode around the world in. Jesus, didn't you see that great big old church that I built for you? Jesus, I prophesied in your name, cast devils out. Jesus will say to that person, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So the only way that you can understand and receive Jesus today is to know the truth. And there is a truth. And the truth that's found in His Word. And the truth is found in Jesus Christ, and He stands next to no one. He is a sovereign God. He is God in the flesh, according to the Bible. He said, Jesus said, "My Father and I are equal." And He said, "I will send the Holy Ghost to you. I've got to go to the Father. And you shall do greater works than I do, because I leave you to go to the Father." Why did He say that? He said, "Don't leave until the Comforter comes, because I'm going to leave the power and the anointing that I walk with on this earth, the supernatural power and anointing. But at the same time," He said, "I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to duplicate my anointing and my power, because I'm going to go sit down at the right hand of God the Father." And you know what? The Bible shows Him sitting at the right hand of God the Father, Ephesians 1, distributing His power, Jesus' power, to usward who believe. And that's why He said, "Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." In other words, His power can work right here in this church this morning, but it's working all over the world with His believers, believing. He can distribute His power to masses of people all over the world at the same second. In a body, walking around limited in a body, He was limited to ministering to who came to Him and who He was speaking to. But now, He has a church with an unlimited amount of power if the people will just reach up and take it. That's all you have to do, is reach up and take it. But as you reach up and take it, just remember this. There are going to be people that are going to come and oppose you. They'll talk about you. They'll slander you. Usually they'll attack your character. But if you are pointing out to someone, tell them where that personality is wrong through their teachings of the Word, or if they are in sin and walking in sin, tell them. I'm going to stop on this one thing because it just came to my mind. There was a movement that started the charismatic movement. There was a precious woman of God out in the beaches of California. And that woman looked out of her window one day and saw all of these drug addicts walking up and down the beach, drugged out of their minds, their teeth falling out, some of them, from taking these drugs. And she started going out on the beach and bringing food to them and telling them about Jesus. And the next thing you know, these kids that had left their middle-class houses because their parents were Christians, that were sitting at home drinking in front of them, smoking and talking about everything under the sun except the Lord, and then going to church on Sunday, they didn't believe it anymore. So they left looking for God. They had gotten caught up in Eastern religion, a lot of them, through the Beatles songs. And so a lot of you didn't know the Beatles were into Eastern religion, I know, but they were. And so she started a movement out there on California that was dubbed the Jesus Movement. Many of you have heard about it. That movement began to wash from the West Coast across the country, and it became known as the charismatic movement. It was a great, great, mighty move of God at its roots. When that lady left and went to be with the Lord, her son took over the movement. He was not as spiritual as she was. And one day he came home and he told, and it was already a worldwide movement, that particular branch of it was called the Children of God. And so the son came home and said, "The Holy Spirit told me to divorce my wife and marry Helen, or whatever her name was, because she's more spiritual than my wife. And all the elders agreed. And the next thing you know, that movement turned from the supernatural spiritual movement of God to the flesh. And what happened? It moved all over the world as the Church of God. And it captured souls all over the world. I've known some of these people, by the way. And what they would do is they would molest the children in that movement, their own children, and they would have intersex among the people in that movement. Sex was spiritual, so you could have sex with anyone without the marriage paper. And then, according to them, and then what they did was they took their wives and they sent them into bars, and they called it fishing for souls. And they would sit on the bar stools, and when a person came and sat down on the bar stools, the woman would seduce him and invite him back to where they were having their meetings. This is a true story. There's books written about it. And then they would convert that person to that movement. And after all, the person didn't have to change anything. He could go to those meetings, and he was a Christian. That's a true story. And there are children today that are older and adults that are coming out with testimonies about these people. And these people have changed their names now to the Family of God. So whenever something comes exposed, the devil just changes the names and continues the movement. Now, the whole charismatic movement didn't fall into that. This was the beginning of it, was great. And then people that came off of it was great. But this group that whose mother formed it, she shot off in the wrong direction. I wanted to make sure that you understood that. And so Christianity's real, and you can get in a lot of trouble following after false prophets and false people. And so you need to be prayerful about who you listen to. Listen with spiritual ears. Are they speaking of the Jesus of the Bible? Are they speaking the Word of God from the Bible? Are they speaking to you about another Jesus, another Bible? Because a lot of that goes on today too. I hope I helped you a little bit today.